Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. My hands are lifted up this morning, giving God praise. Hallelujah. I'm thankful because God will bless you in the midst. God will come through when you least expect it, when you listen and trust in him. Today we're about to go into a new book. Say yay, yay, new book. We're going into the book of Job. And all I can say is it is enlightening. It will help us. It will guide you. Words have meaning, control of everything. This book showed me that we all give the devil so much credit for everything. Ooh, and I said to the devil such and such, and I told the devil this and that, and I said, get behind me, Satan. And I just, you know what? Understand what I learned in Job was that the devil can't do any more than God allows. And God will allow whatever that situation may be to test you. Because to just create mess in your life so that you would depend on him and not everything else. For so long in my own life, I depended on my own resources because I had this, I had that, I could do this, I could do that. And then God took some of it all away and made it what I have to depend on him. And they don't have it like I used to. And I have a situation. And so I was like, okay, you know, I may have to do this, that, and the other. You know, I have to, you know, call this person. I call, you know, I have to, you know, go to the bank. I have to do this. I got to do that. And God put something in my heart. And I talked to a person. And the person said, you have been on my heart. And I got something for you. You know, and we were talking about, you know, my situation and what I was going to have to get done at my house and da-da-da. And they just started almost crying and laughing and praising God. And I'm like, okay, why are you praising God? Because I got to get work done on my house. And they said, just what you need plus more. God told me. Almost a year ago to bless you. I have not seen you, so I have not been able to do it, but it's still been on my heart, and God has still told me I have to do it. And all I could do was cry. I just praised God, and I cried because it was a test. Am I going to do what God said? Am I going to listen to what God said do? Or am I going to go and do what I want to do? Or because I got the resource, I can go get it from my resources and not from the abundant resources of God. And because I trusted and liquefied everything that I need. Don't tell me what our daddy God can do. When we listen, Job passed the test. The enemy said, he's only doing what he's doing because you got a hedge around him and you won't let me touch him. God's like, do this. Go ahead. And Job passed the test. You know, we're going to get into this word because it is so good because we all go through. But we got to learn to stand on God. We got to learn to let him wrap his arms around us. We got to learn to let him lean down and pick us up That's us all. Because we belong to him. And he belongs to us. Are you trusting God today? Are you leaning on your own understanding? Or are you in all your ways acknowledging him and allowing him to direct your path? Are you standing on Proverbs today? Chapter 3, verse, are you allowing him to wrap you in his arms? Are you hiding in his wings of that 91st Psalm? Are you just doing you? We can't do us any longer. We got to do God. So let's get into a prayer, and then we're going to find out what about Job is so important in 10 words or less. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you this morning, Lord, with open arms, open minds, open hearts, oh God, ready to receive your word, God. Let your word permeate our hearts, permeate our minds, permeate our spirits, God. For we are your sons and daughters, Lord, and we love you more than anything. Father God, I lift up this word again, asking you to increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. And in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I ask you, come in and take control. Lord God, speak through me. Speak through me that I may also learn. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for the sick and the shut in. I pray for those that are in need of your guidance, God. I bind and rebuke the spirits that attach and attack your children, giving headaches, giving body aches, giving mental health issues, God. We are binding those spirits this morning. We're going to have a spirit of Job speaking life over ourselves, oh God. We are going to speak life. We're going to speak hope. We're going to speak your peace. And the joy that can only come from you. And we bind those spirits. Don't even try. For I know who I am. I am a child of God. And you can keep it moving, spirit. I felt you trying to attack. Not today, Satan. Not today, demons. But this is God's word, and I'm going to speak it. In the name of Jesus, I lift up the word of God, and I stand on it. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to tell this to you. Sometimes headaches are not just headaches. Sometimes headaches are spiritual attacks. And we got to stop, take a minute, and bind that spirit. Whatever it may be, trying to attack your mind, trying to attack your spirit, trying to knock you off your square, you got to say not today. Not today. You know, if that Tylenol don't work, if that pain medication don't work, that lets you know it's a spiritual attack. You got to stand on God's word. I am above and not beneath. You got to stand on God's word. I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By the blood of Jesus, I'm covered from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I am, whoo, hallelujah, a child of God. And I know that he is my God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We got to start lifting up. And like I said, God knows your heart. He knows your mind. And he knows your spirit. Lift up Jesus today. Don't let the enemy get in your spirit. You know, I have a situation where all of a sudden, one, my gum has a tendency to swell. And I'm like, you know what? Not today. You know, you can send all that if you want to. I'm good because I'm trusting God that I'm healed. Amen. I'm trusting God that I am healed. Whew, glory to the name of Jesus. And the word of God tells us this is what I got from my little book that says, know your Bible. And I'll tell anybody, if you teach, this is an awesome word to have. And it's all 66 of books of the Bible explained and applied. Know your Bible. And it gives you whatever book you're in 10 words or less as an overview. And so let's get started. And it says the author of Job, and they're saying unknown. I'm saying it's Job. And it says the date, unclear, but many believe Job is one of the oldest stories in the Bible, perhaps from approximately 2000 B.C. In 10 words or less, God allows human suffering for his own purposes. And that was like, oh, that's harsh. When I first read that, I thought, I don't think you know what you're talking about. That God allows human suffering for his own purposes. That sounds sadistic. That sounds awful. That just don't sound right. And then I thought about it. I don't think that God allows human suffering for his purpose. I think God allows human suffering to make us stronger, to make us wiser, to make us appreciate him more, to appreciate our blessings more. So I don't always agree with that 10 words or less. So, you know, when I think of Job, I felt like God allows the devil to work. So God allows the devil to work, so God gets the credit. Because God will bring you through. God will give you double for your trouble. Just believe. That's 10 words. Again, God will give you double for your trouble. Just believe. 10 words. So I'm not always in agreement with what they come up with, but I like mine better. God will give you double for your trouble. Just believe. That's what my 10 words are, because that's what I believe, that God gave Job double for his trouble. All he had to do was believe in God. So that's just how I feel. Again, y'all hear it. God will give you double for your trouble. Just believe. 10 words. Because I just don't believe that God takes pleasure in our suffering. And I don't believe that God wants us, I don't think he gets joy from our suffering, that he allows it so we can grow, so we can be stronger, so we can be better, you know. I need to write the book. That's all I'm saying. God, you're going to show me how to do it. And this is what the word says. Head of a large family. This is our detailed sleeve of Job. Job is a wealthy farmer from a place called Uz. He's perfect and upright, so much so that God calls Satan's attention to him. The devil, unimpressed, asks and receives God's permission to attack Job's possessions and wipe out thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, donkeys, and the worst of all, Job's 10 children. Despite Satan's attack, Job keeps his faith. Satan then receives God's permission to attack Job's health. But in spite of terrible physical suffering, Job refuses to curse God and die, as his wife suggests. Before long, though, Job begins to question why God would allow him, a good man, to suffer so severely. Job's suffering is worsened by the arrival of four friends who begin to accuse him of causing his own trouble by secret sin. Is not thy wickedness great, as Eliphaz, the Temite? In the end, God himself speaks, vindicating Job because his friends, and also addressing the overarching issue of human suffering. God doesn't explain Job's suffering, but asks a series of questions that shows his vast knowledge, implying that Job should simply trust God's way. And Job does, telling God, I know that thou canst do everything. That God can do everything. God can do everything. story saying God has restored Job's health, possessions, and family, giving him 10 more children. Woo! Everything that the enemy stole, God gave it back to Job. I like that one too. Everything that the enemy stole, God gave it back. Well, 11 words to Job. But anyway, we're going to love God, trust God, believe that God can. And I love this quotable, and this is in our word today. Actually, our title is comes from it. It says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 1, verse 21, King James. God has not promised us anything, but God gives us everything. That's how good he is. He gives us everything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through your adversity, blessed be the name of the Lord. Through your situations, whatever they may be, blessed be the name of the Lord. Be the name of the Lord in all things. When we give God and lift those hands and say, for God I live, for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We didn't come into this world with anything. We speak on this on a regular, on this blog. And that is on this show. And that is that all your stuff, look around your room. Wherever you might be, and look at what you got, and understand you can't take not one, you can't take your house, you can't take your car, you can't take your walking shoes, you can't take your bus token, you can't take any doggone thing you have with you, you can't even take your puppy with you, you can't take your kitty cat with you, you can't take nothing with you. You cannot take anything but your spirit with you. In the ground you go, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's where you're going to be. You know, for a long time, I was like so bothered by cremation. And then we all understand when COVID hit, became almost a thing. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, but then I heard the word ashes to ashes. You're going to be ashes anyway. You're going to be dust anyway. Your soul is not in that body going through that crematorium. Your soul is already ascended. You are all not there. You're not there. It's a body. It's a body. Same with it. Because the soul is already gone. So thank you, God, for giving me that, because it bothered my spirit for a long time that I had to do a cremation when I didn't understand it and didn't want to do it. But God, and I thank him for waking me up and giving me clarity of mind that the person that was in that shell is a spiritual being, and they're no longer there. They're not going through the fire. They've already gone to be with the Lord, because that's what his word says. And let's get into our book this morning, and I'm sorry I preached a little bit today. And we're going to be in Job for the rest of this morning. We're staying in Job, and it says this: there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And seven sons and three daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. Can you believe that? And it's like, whoa, God, why you set Job up like that? But God is showing us that even through adversity, if we wait on the Lord, if we depend on him, he will come through. I'm just saying it right now. He will come through. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. So now let's see what happens. Because now the enemy has been given carte blanche to mess with Job. It says, now there was a day. Sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and kill the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in your oldest brother's house. Suddenly, in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. He didn't sin or charge God with wrong. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. So the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incite provided me a gift then to destroy him with alcohol. So Satan asked the Lord if they stand by seeing yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you into your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but there is life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd from which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. But they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voice and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, but they saw that his grief was very great. And let's go back real quick to a few life lessons and some questions. And the first is answers to life's questions. How God limits our adversity. Although God may allow Satan to persecute and accuse us, the Lord also puts a limit on the amount of adversity he allows Satan to send our way. In the case of Job, the Lord stopped Satan the first time by commanding him, do not lay a hand on his person. And the second time with the limited command, spare his life. Satan had to comply both times, just as he has to comply today with God's limitations on the amount of adversity you and I suffer as God's children. There is a limit to adversity. It will come to an end. One woman quoted to me a favorite Bible phrase of hers, and it came to pass. She said, just think, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Ooh! Praise God. I can use that. It didn't come to stay. Woo! Hallelujah. Remember that today's troubles are just that, today's trouble. A season of trouble is just that, a season of trouble. Crisis passed. Circumstances change. Situations evolve. God works in and through adversity to bring it to an end according to his timetable. Daniel noted this when he prophesied that the beast would be allowed to persecute the saints for a time and time and half a time. The Aramaic word for persecute in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, literally means to wear out. The enemy of our soul attempts to grind us down, to wear us out, to wring us dry, but God says not completely. Satan can do nothing to us or in us beyond a certain point if we will continue to trust God and resist the devil. Furthermore, the Lord does not allow us to be tempted or futile beyond our ability to endure. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What good news this is. God will limit our trials and tribulations and eventually provide a way of escape from them. Trusting God today. Life lesson Job 1 and 10. Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? And that was Satan asked the Lord. And this is the answer. Job had no idea of the extent of God's protection that surrounded him and his family. When we joyfully obey God by his spirit as Job did, the Lord does the same thing for us that he did for Job. Always remember, our behavior matters. Those who are in Christ must learn to invite Jesus to live his life in and through them so that they can increasingly please God and turn away from evil. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. When tragedy strikes, believers hurt just as much as anyone else. They grieve, but not as others who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We can worship even in tragedy because nothing can separate us from God and his love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Job chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? If God is sovereign and if he loves us, then we must believe that nothing reaches us without first passing through his omnipresent hand. Are you knowing and trusting that God has got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet? The enemy can only do what God allows. And if God allows it, it's to make you stronger. It's to help you to persevere. It's to help you on him. Depending on God is what we must do. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace toward me. Thank you, Lord, for a hope in the future. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to speak positive and not negative. For God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. We got to trust in the Lord today. Don't allow the enemy to get in your square, to knock you out, to knock you down, to make you feel less than. You are important to God. And we got to start believing it. And saying, as Minister Marcy spoke today, we got to start speaking them positive words of ourselves. We got to say, I am above and not beneath. You got to start saying, Lord, I know that I can make it because you are with me. God, you are with me, and I thank you. Lord, I put my situation in your hands. Lord, I will not allow the enemy to make me feel bad about myself. I know I'm not perfect, but I am your daughter, and I know I'm saved by grace. We got to start speaking life. Pain, you got to go. No, I'm good. No, I'm going to be fine because I know who my daddy is, and I know I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I am healed by the blood of Jesus. I speak life over my limbs. I speak life over the nerves in my legs and my arms and my feet. I speak life over the nerves over my whole body from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. The devil, you have no right to touch me, for I am a child of God, and I am covered by the blood of Jesus. Speak life over yourself. Job chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth, and Job spoke and said. Now, again, Job was speaking a little bit negative here about himself. Because when you have pain like that, you know, I am dealing with a situation with my nerves. And so I get nerve pain. But I'm still trusting God. And I'm still going to lift up the name of Jesus. And I don't care. You know, I got this morning as I'm speaking, this morning all of a sudden, the nerve pain hit my arm and my hand. And I'm like, not today, Satan. I'm putting my brace on and kept it moving. Because you know what? I'm not going to allow this nerve situation to take me off my square to do what I got to do for God. This is my assignment, to read the word of God to the masses. And that's what I'm going to do. So the devil can go right on back to the pit of hell from whence he came in his demon suit. Because I know who my daddy is. And I know that this too shall pass. And this is what the word of God says. Because Job was feeling some kind of way. I'll tell you this. When my husband of 32 years died, I was feeling this some kind of way. my hair was down past my shoulders. I cut it off. My hair went from being past my shoulders all the way down my back to being probably 2 inches, 3 inches. That's it. Because I was, you know, one of those girls. I had my little perm in. I had all the perm cut out, every last inch, all at once. My beautician wanted to cry, going with all that, them chemicals in my head. Cut it off every inch, down to practically the root. I had just a little bit of curls on the top, and that was it. Had all the perm on. Let it grow. She cut it all the way down. Let it grow, cut some more. Let it grow, cut some more until I had no more. Just a little bit of hair. And, of course, I was one of those girls. I was coloring it, too. Colored it for years. And then God convicted me one day, and he said, every gray hair on your head, I gave it to you. Because I would get it colored on Friday, and by Saturday morning, the little gray would be showing again. It was like stubborn. I grew, and you can be gray. And so finally, came to the realization, I'm going to quit. I stopped. And so I have a lot of silver hair. My hair is silver. I guess some would call it salt and pepper. And I don't care. Because God gave it to me. And my hair is now even down by my back. Took me almost 12 years for it to grow back. But it's all right. Everything is in God's time. But I was having a moment, just like Job. And it's like, why was I born? Why? It says, may the day perish on which I was born and the night in which it was said a male child is conceived. May the day be darkened. May God above not see it. He's having a moment. We all have it. Nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Oh, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout come unto it. May those cursed it are ready to arouse Leviathan. And we know that's a sea monster. May the stars of this morning be dark. May it look for light that have none. And not see the dawning of the day, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me? Or why the breast that I should nurse? For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth who build ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who longs for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God is hedged in? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groaning pour out like water. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. Whew. And then the friend. than Eliphaz the Temanite. Temanite answered and said, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold him? Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. If not your reverence, your confidence, if not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways, your hope. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright even cut off? Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Okay, here it is. You reap what you sow. That's what he's saying. And we know that we read that you reap what you sow. But in Job's case, that's not the truth. In Job's case, he's not reaping what he's sown. And in some cases, we are not reaping what we've sown. And so this is what he said. Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the blast of God, they perish, and by the breath of his anger, they are consumed. The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it, and disquieting thoughts from the vision of the night, where deep sleep falls on men. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spear passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, the whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. Does not their own excellence go away? They die even without wisdom. Wow, and that's his friend now. And when we go to Job chapter 3, it says this, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Job chapter 3, verse 25, intense suffering often prompts us to say things we don't really mean. Fortunate we serve a God who remembers that we are dust. Psalms 103 and 14. And who promises not to speak the bruised reed of our souls, not to break the bruised reed of our soul, Isaiah 42 and 3. We all have secret fears and underground worries, things that make us say, if this happens, I don't know what I'll do. God wants us to take even these fears to him and say, I put my trust in you. Whew, I put my trust in you. Job 4 and 17, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Whenever we fault God's handling of the universe or angrily blame him for our personal hardship, in fact, we're calling ourselves more gracious and righteous than he is. And that's why a dangerous and foolish place to be. And it is always a dangerous and foolish place to be. It's tempting to think that good boys always get the apple and bad boys always get the stick. It's tempting but not true. No one was ever more innocent than Jesus, yet he perished for our sins. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. We are blessed beyond a curse because God gave us his son. And he did not have to do it, but he did. Job chapter 5, and it says, call out now, is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. Seeing the foolish taking root. But suddenly I curse this dwelling place. His sons are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate, and there is no deliverer. Because the hungry eat up his harvest, taking it even from the thorns, and a snare snatches their substance. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the field. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope at noontime as in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword, from the mouth of the mighty, and from their hand. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts their mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in six troubles, yet in seven no evil shall touch you. In famine he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of the destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field. And the beast of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it and know it yourself. Then Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were fully weighed, and my calamity laid with it on the scales. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words have been rash, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when it has grass, or does the ox lolt over its fodder? Can flavorless food be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refuses to touch them. They are as loathsome food to me. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing that I long for, that it would please God to crush me, that he would lose his hand and cut me off, then I would still have comfort. Though in anguish I would exalt, he will not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What strength do I have that I should hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Is my help not within me, from me? I'm going to read 12 again. Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Is my help not within me, and is success driven from me? To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friends. Even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty, my brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the streams of the brooks that pass away, which are dark because of the ice into which the snow vanishes. When it is warm, they cease to flow. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. The paths of their way turn aside. They go nowhere and perish. The caravans of Tema look. The travelers of Sheba hope for them. They are disappointed because they were confident. They come here. They come there and are confused. But now you are nothing. You see terror and are afraid. Did I ever say, bring something to me? Or offer a bribe from me, from your wealth? Or deliver me from the enemy's hands? Or redeem me from the hand of oppressors? Teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Have forceful or right words. But what does your anguish prove? Do you indeed to rebuke my words and the speeches of the desperate ones, which are as wind? Yes, you overwhelm the fatherless and you undermine your friend. Now therefore be pleased to look at me, for I will never lie to your face. Ye are now, let there be no injustice. See my righteousness still stand. Is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the unsavory? And life lessons from Job chapter 5 and 6. And the first is this, in Job 5, 8 and 9, God does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Even foolish people can occasionally say wise things. Just as the devil can mix in truth with his lies, we must constantly discern between wheat and chaff, truth and error, God's reliable word and Satan's half-truth. Remember that. The devil, he knows how to put you off your square. He knows how to knock you out. But we got to trust God and we got to give God praise. We got to thank him every day because he loves us like that. Job 6 and 26, do you intend to rebuke my words and the speeches of a desperate one, which are as wind? Godly people in pain usually know when they speak rashly and unwisely, but they just can't seem to help themselves. Their desperation drives them to it because people in great pain often say things they don't really mean. We must not judge too harshly their words, even when they offend us. In these times, we must remain swift to hear and slow to speak. James chapter 1 and 19. And I'm going to say that again. Swift to hear, slow to speak. And as Peter says, love will cover a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4 and 8. We got to keep God, keep trusting in God, even when we're going through. Bless the name of the Lord in all that you do. As Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trust God and love God and watch God work in your life. He will bless you when you least expect, but he will also allow adversity. Ask God to help you through the adversity. Ask God to guide you through whatever you're going through. Because he will never give us more than we can handle. Keep God first and watch him work in your life. Keep loving him and watch him love you back. Thank him today. Thank him tomorrow. Thank him every day. And as we get ready to wrap up, we have not gotten a word from our sister this today. So we're going to go straight to our prayer this morning. On this, I still can't believe, fifth day of August. 8 new beginnings and 5 grace. Thanking God, whew, for a new grace that he gives us every day. And this is what it says, these dreams. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart. 37 Psalm verse 4 says, God of all my hope, I can't hold back from you. Today, I readily share with you the dreams that have been shimmering in my heart. Those that have been on the back burner are ready for your attention. Whatever desires are filled and those left to simmer a bit longer, know that I delight in you, my King. Your ways are beautiful and your attention The detail is unmatched. I trust you with every longing and dream, knowing you are not dismissive of your children. Excuse me. I have known your faithful love in my life, and I will continue to see your goodness show up in immeasurable ways. I am sure of it. Lord, you do not teach me to ignore my own heart. You welcome me to your table, that I would bring all of me to it. Today, as I pour out my dreams like I would be a trusted friend, I know that you hear me. Not only that, but you dream with me. You are so good. And the word that it gave today is this. What desire can you bring before God today, letting him share in both the longing and the dreaming? Hallelujah. Are you trusting God this morning? And one more prayer, a prayer for all for tomorrow. And it says, as I love, to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who hurt you. Luke 6:27-28 NLT. Kind Father, you are overflowing in love to all. You do not show favoritism in the measure you go out to each. Jesus, when I am being flattened by the weight of unmet expectations and relationships, let me remember your life. Some of your closest friends denied and deserted you, and your enemies put you to death. Even so, you lovingly offered forgiveness for each, even those who hated your guts. Lord, I will follow your humble example. Keep my heart right when offense rears up and I want to get even instead of laying down my rights to retaliation. I am willing to be changed by you, God. You always know the best route for love, but let me not forget that it most looks like self-sacrifice. May my heart remain willing to be led by you through thick and thin, mercifully offering what may never be reciprocated. You are worth it. And the question is this, can you choose to replace the hate in your heart with love, at least the willingness to love, or at least the willingness to love? And I say today, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And even when friends be ill of you, remember God. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are a child of God and you are loved by him. And a word, just as God is about to close it down, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Don't be discouraged if things you're praying for hasn't happened yet. Delay does not mean denial. Have a faith-filled Friday, family, and keep God first in all you do. Remember, blessed be the name of the Lord. Have a great weekend. Join me on Sunday as we move forward in God's word. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed weekend and have a great day. In Jesus' name, I continue to pray over you and yours. Be blessed. It is, as we say, on moving forward, it's a wrap. Have a great day.